Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tonight's guest is Simon. Simon, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for coming on. Simon, please give us a brief bio on yourself.
I'm 38 years old. I work full-time. I'm a chef. I'm into nature. I like wandering out in my spare time, finding new places to go. And I guess that's me.
You said that you're into nature. What kinds of things do you like to do in the woods or outdoors?
I love feeding birds. When I say birds, I mean like different seeds for different birds. If you want to attract sparrows, blue tits, starlings, you'll put these fat balls into a container that attracts all species. If you want to attract finches like goldfinches, green finches, and little birds, you get something called Niger seed, and it's a smaller seed, which goes in these containers, so you'll get different looking colored birds. If you want to feed squirrels and you want to feed magpies and jackdaws and the common crow that comes across, then you'll get monkey nuts. They love them. They absolutely go wild for them. Also, this one time, I could not believe it in my eyes, like Mother Nature. I used to climb up the tree and put some nuts inside a container for squirrels, and we used to get like these jaybirds coming, which looks like a magpie, but it's got like blue and green and yellow feathers to the top. And that used to come, and I used to absolutely love seeing it. But because I put the nuts so far up the tree, one day, this screeching and crying and screeching, and I looked outside, and a parakeet, a green one, that had escaped from somebody's house, and I didn't know what to do. So I put it on social media and the video that I've seen this green parakeet, and they reply saying, yeah, it's mine. So I'm thinking, okay, so what would you like me to do? And they said, oh, nothing, just keep feeding and look after it. We've chased it down the street before with blankets. We've called it by its name. It's very stubborn. It goes by the name of Bo. And I couldn't believe it, and it kept coming and shrieking outside, and I had to go up tree, climb up, and give it all these monkey nuts. But then obviously it stopped coming, so I don't know whether it flew off to the other end when it keeps warm, but it never come back, apparently. But yeah, I love nature.
Of all the birds you expected to see that day, I'm sure it wasn't a parakeet. That had to be a pretty big surprise.
Very, very.
Since you had your dogman experiences that we're going to talk about tonight, you've put a lot of research into them, Simon. What would you point to when it comes to dogmen that you find hardest to understand?
Well, at first, when you hear the experiences people's had and your mind can open to what you're actually hearing and seeing, there's a saying that seeing is believing. But when you experience it, it's different. I mean, it's like you can sit down and watch television with all these horror stories and things, and it's just fiction. You're just looking at the screen. But to actually try believe that this is for real, until you see it, you don't believe it. And you sort of listen to what people say and think, yeah. But then as you keep listening, like I kept listening to your show, and I thought, well, all these people can't be wrong. I guess that's how it made me feel, yeah.
You're right. Yeah, all these people can't be wrong. And that's because these guys are definitely out there, as you unfortunately saw with your own eyes. It's easy to think that after having as traumatic of an encounter as the second one you had was, the last thing you'd want to do is listen to shows about dogmen and research them. Why do you do those things?
I didn't do those things. My first experience was 12 years ago, but it came to my attention when my sister, she listens to your show, and I live with my sister because I've recently been separated from my partner, and I've never even heard of Dogman. I've never even heard of Dogman Encounters. But on that time, your show was playing, Vic, and she played it in the night, and she played it quite loud. And by me listening to this, I was sort of listening to it, and at the same time going to sleep on the sofa. And when I would listen to it, I kind of listened to it, because I'd wake up half awake, half asleep, and sat listening to the show. And I was listening, it got more and more interesting, and I listened and listened, I thought, well, I did have the experience, and the more I listened and the more I heard, the more I realised that I wasn't alone, the more I realised that I did have this encounter, and the more it was a dogman, and I believe this, but at the time, it was who would listen to me.
Misery does love company, and yeah, if it brings you comfort by listening to the show and listening to the other eyewitnesses share their experiences, which that makes total sense that you would, then that's a good thing. Anything that's going to bring you comfort and help you deal with your encounters, I think you should do it. If you would have known about dogmen before you had your encounters, would you have believed that they could be there in the UK scratching out a living, even though the UK obviously isn't nearly as big as the United States, for example?
No, I'd find that hard to believe. I do believe that things are out there, but to believe that out in that quantity and out there, it's not just one experience in one area, but to actually know that it's all over the place, it's kind of different. I'd be skeptical. Like, I'd say, oh, right, but to actually experience it, you don't know. You know, it's like people, they don't believe in aliens. And then when they encounter something or encounter an experience, they actually believe and they try to tell people, I saw this. And nobody believes them. But then when that one person sees it and sees it for themselves, then it's a different story. They're in the same boat shouting out, oh, come on, believe me. I saw it. So, yeah, I guess that's that.
A lot of people from the UK who are into the whole dogman phenomenon, they don't believe that dogmen could be living there in the UK either, so If you would have felt that way before you had that experience, it would have made you any different from a lot of them. If you'd like to be able to listen to the show without ads and have full access to bonus content, that's an option. To find out how, please go to dogmanencounters.com/podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Simon, please tell us about your encounters now. Give us every last detail that comes to mind.
Okay, my first encounter was about 12 years ago. I was about 26 at the time, probably nearly 27, and I got my first mortgage, my first house, which was at Top, and I was looking forward to celebrating moving to my new property. So I met up with my uncle, and we went to this place called Bushesaw Working Men's Club, which is just like down the road. He sort of sat on his own and I sat next to him, but he's got autism, so he doesn't interact well with people. He's not got a bad bone in his body, he's totally harmless, but he doesn't like talking to people. He likes sitting on his own in the corner. So I think he had, I don't know, 2 beers or a pint and a half. I think I had about 3. And, they wanted something to eat through the takeaway at the Top. Now that was on Beacon Road, which is further up. So as going up, being him, oh, I want to go over Woods. And I'm like, oh, no. To go straight up, it's straight up. Oh, so I felt like better. I needed the wee-wee. And when I went sort of in the bush at the side, I heard sort of noises, crunching. When I say crunching, I don't mean like crunching off teeth or crunching on something that is edible. I mean like crunching, like storming through like holly bushes, which are quite prickly. It's like rustling bushes, but stomping. And I just carried on as you do. And I heard this tremendous, horrifying growl. It was a noise that I've never, ever, ever, ever experienced. It was a noise that I've never, ever heard before in my life. It was the most unexplainable noise. It was awful. So shocking. And I sort of shivered a bit, like, oh, and sort of turned about, oh, I don't know. And walked forward and started walking up the road with my uncle, and I could hear panting, I could hear footsteps, I could hear this. It was terrifying, and walking I could hear, but when I turned around there was nothing there. There was absolutely nothing there at all. But when I kept walking, I could hear the panting. I could hear the noise. I could hear everything. And I felt like running and asking him and saying, come on, let's run. But then I understood that if you run, a dog will chase you, to the point that when we got to the edge of the park, Whipsy Park, as he slowed down and I turned around to talk to him at the back, the shimmy of the light was shining and I saw a reflection of two eyes. It was absolutely, and I knew to calm him down, we just kept walking. And he was trying to make out that he didn't like to believe things. He didn't like it, and he knew that I was worried at the time. But yeah, we never got his takeaway. I made sure he come back and straight on Beacon Road, straight to the top of St. Enoch's, to the new flat, 26 St. Enoch's Road. But he never stayed, and normally he always walks home. But that night he got a taxi home. So the stay's never been right. But yeah, that was him. And he'd be more than happy to come forward and tell you how scared he actually felt. He knows what he's saying, he knows what he saw, and he knows exactly what was experienced. And to me, that was like years ago, and thinking about that, you think, who's going to believe it, you know? You think it could be this, what a wild dog. It could have been anything. Who's going to believe you? What are you going to do? You're in dog pound, but if you don't have dog pound around here, it's just the police and they're like dog people in. But what they're going to do, we'll go around the park looking for this creature or animal or beast. No, they don't work like that around here. So it's one of those where it captures your mind and you always know what you saw. You will never, ever, ever forget what you saw, as you treat your mind like a computer, basically. And this is what I do. I try keep all the good things and filter out the bad things. But some bad things you can't filter out, because if you've got a computer full of spam and full of things that clog it up, cookies and all this business, I don't really understand them. It's going to slow down your computer, isn't it? Just look like with a human brain. You know, you try to keep the good memories and you filter out the bad. But in this experience, I couldn't. No, I couldn't. And it stuck with me for a while. And it kind of made me feel, do I tell somebody? Well, no, because nobody's going to believe me. And it kind of went from there. So, yeah, that was my first experience. So, this was New Year's Day. So, I went to see my friend Ronnie. She lived at the other side of the woods, to a select area, a lot of people call it a 10 bob millionaire area, which means a lot of people that live there, they think they're billionaires. It's a very like stumpy area, but it leads the other side of the woods, and they've got all this big woods at the back and everything they want, really. So I get invited, so I'm like, yes, I'm going to see my friend. And so I go there, see you, you know, spend a bit of time, give her a bit. But as the nights were going on, it got dark really early. It was probably dark by probably about 3-4 o'clock. It got dark very early. So it, maybe me talking away, an estimate of the time. Before you know it, there were neighbours with this little dog, and she'd been feeding the dog. And neighbours apparently moved out, and they've left the dog. But it was a little Yorkshire Terrier. Well, I hate to say the word, was an absolutely beautiful thing. Lovely, round, hazel eyes. But it needed brushing, it was a bit knotted, and I was going to take it back was going to, as an nth say, take it back, brush it, and look after it and sort it all out. So she had an Alsatian dog, and she had another dog. So she let me at this lead. So the shortest route was to go straight back from Norwood Green, which is on Station Road. The shortest way back was to cut through Judy Woods, which leads to Woodside. So I decided, right, okay, I'm going through that woods. So I went on and everything was fine, absolutely fine. Walking through, dog on lead, thinking, oh yeah, you know, got a little companion now. I get to the back end, probably about over halfway or three quarters, and dogs start to act differently. It stopped, and I was like, what? And it was just walking perfectly to start with. But then when it stopped, it was like, I walked forward, it was, ooh, and it sort of jolted me like a seatbelt up beside my arm, because I'm like, what? And I could see hairs standing up on the dog and it acting out of character. It was like telling me not to go forward. It was sort of weird, as the dog was walking perfectly fine before, so suddenly why? But it was silent. You couldn't hear. I heard birds flying off, but you couldn't hear any birds around. You couldn't hear everything. It was that kind of like a strange, peaceful silence, which I've never ever experienced in my life. Imagine like the all of life stops. And when the all of life stops, you're just left with your own devices. And there was nothing, no sound, no crickets chirping, no nothing, just a total silence. Like everything just like disappeared.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But, yeah, so okay, then come on. So I walked forward, and I walked forward with, like, some tall, like grass. It wasn't grass. I don't know what you call them, but they're, like, big, long grass fins. And I stepped forward, and I slipped, and I let go, lead, and went straight down. And it's like, oh, or banking, as you want to call it. I went down, bam, I hurt all my ankle. I'm like putting it on, looking up, and I saw like the blood running down the back of my leg. And when it was running down the back of my leg, I felt it in the pain. And so I went in my pocket to get my phone, looked back, and I had it on torch and a walking dog. So when I looked up, it was halfway up the hill that I slipped on the banking. It come out of my pocket, didn't it? Bum and ick. But as it was going, I could see like the shine, but I couldn't see image. But I would lay down and thought, oh, I'm going to get back up. And I didn't think, but I heard, and I saw this reflection, and it was very strange, unbelievable, on sight, which you'd never believe. And as you know, light can magnify things and do things, but it's splosh, like something was walking towards me. But then, as I could see like the shadow on the ship of the image, it was like a baboon, like whether we've got lumph or a rantan, as you call it, or whatever, but the monkey family, the ones that's got the long arms and got the back that goes down, like a muscly back, and goes up just like that, and walking towards and then coming forward. But it was cold, very, very cold. And I thought, oh, game's over for you, Si. Game's over, Si. You know, and this monstrous, I don't know what it was. Wolf, monstrous, bear. I don't know. This was just like, wow. And I know he got close. He got very close, very, very close to me. And I remember it was so cold as it sniffed and snorted like a really, like a wet nose, going. But listening to the show, previous, I know that it definitely has got to have been a dog man, because for the simple reason, this is the worst part. This is the part that hurts me, that as it was going and going close to me, very, very close, and my heart was racing, it was pulping, it was proper racing, so much that I couldn't really breathe, and it was horrifying to see something that you think is fictional. And at the time, you don't think that way. At the time, you think, oh my days, this is my time, I'm gone. But then it got bad. The dog started yelping, barking, and as it turned its head, it leaped up the hill and got up. Oh, within about 2 seconds trip, and the hill was quite steep. And unfortunately, I never saw that dog again, which is very hurtful. But as it got up in the swampy, horrible stench, I turned around and I tried to climb back up the hill, but we've been wet. I kept slipping down. And so I found some I didn't find some. It was just growing reeds or weeds out of the thing. So I sort of grabbed them and I pulled myself back up, and I got myself back home. And after that, it really affected me in a big way, that I won't talk to people for a good 10 days. I was like in shock. Like, what the heck has just happened? What has happened to me that made me really, really down and really shocked? But I come back around and I'm okay now. But having listened to Dogman Encounters, which, like I said earlier, it's made me realise that to come forward, because at the time you think, yes, okay, I'm going to come forward, I'm going to tell people a story, but who's going to believe you? Over here in UK, you'll end up in another house. If you said, I've seen a dog man and werewolf, they say, okay, send you the next psychiatrist. So some things you keep secret and some things you don't tell anyone. Like, to this day, you think, did I really see that? I experienced that. But you don't tell anyone, because you knew if you tell people, like, they won't believe you. They wouldn't believe you. Or they'd look at you and say, oh, yeah, yeah. Then they'd talk to the next person and say, ooh, I'm worried about them. They think they've seen wolves or something. So you've got to keep it yourself. But then after listening to that experience, like I said, when my sister plays on a night, I listened to other people saying this, and I thought, well, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one that's had this encounter. I'm not the only one that's had this experience. And it made me come forward to contact you, Vic, and at the same time, put my experience out there with the other people that have shared similar experiences, because every experience helps. If you are genuine and it has happened to you and that you come forward, then it really helps you. It settles your mind knowing that you're not the only one that's seen and experienced these, maybe, I don't know how to explain, monsters, wolves, well, I don't know. But I think These are creatures that like to scare. I think they get adrenaline on your fear. But I think they're intelligent, just like us. They know not to hurt a human being. I think, obviously, in select areas, like where a deer will go, or an odd cow, or different animals, yes. I agree. Wouldn't you if you were starving? But I think these, they're harmless to us, harmless to the human race. That's what I think. But the time when you encounter them, you feel, okay, game over. You're like, God, I'm sorry if I've done anything wrong. This is my time. But then they leave you, but they scare you in that way. But it's like they thrive when you fear. And I think that's what these creatures do. They thrive when you fear. Example, if these creatures had hurt one of us, or killed one of us, it'd be all of it news, wouldn't it? It'd be, this person's being attacked by a wolf, and this, and then they'd be a hunt down, and all these creatures, and they'd be tracked down. But by looking this and intelligence, they listen to deer and attack animals, and it's, oh, it must be a local fox, or it must be a local coyote, or it must be a local this, but no. But these creatures are very intelligent. But it's only by speaking to Vic on this conversation that he explained that the seven words that meaning they never hurt you, you know, but they could have done. That's what it basically meant. And that sort of helped me, and helped me on my way with my anxiety, and helped get closure that this did happen and I wasn't imagining things. And now I'm moving on the next track.
That's right. You weren't imagining what happened, and I'm glad to hear that you're moving on. When you and your uncle heard that growl, what did he think it was?
Well, at the time when you hear this, you think, first of all, you think your mind goes in, like if you hear a cat meowing or you hear a dog bark, you recognize the sound. You recognize it if you hear a crow going or a normal sparrow or a blue tit, you recognize the sound. But when you don't recognize the sound, your brain sort of goes into a different mode where, what was that? And that's when you sense a fear, because you're hearing a noise that you've never come across. So it's kind of your brain goes in gear, like, what's that? So you sort of go in panic mode, and that's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. When you have experiences like that, your brain pretty much runs out of your ears, and yeah, you just lose your ability to rationalize through things. But considering, especially talking about that second encounter you had, how traumatic your experiences were, I think you deserve a lot of credit. I think you handled those very well. Did it sound like that growl was directed at you, or did it sound like it was directed in a different direction from you?
I'm not sure. Like I said, I never heard that kind of noise before, and it's upset me into panic. But at the same time, why did it hear the footsteps? Why did it hear the noise? Whether it directed me, I'm not sure, but it was really, really scary. And I'm not scared of many things, honestly. I used to have snakes, and I used to love my little reptiles, and I used to do various things, you know. I've gone in fields with cows and feed them when they're all stampeding towards you, because you put your hand out and then they'll stop. I'm not scared of nature, many things, but when you experience and you hear something quite like I did, it's kind of disturbing. Really, really disturbing.
Oh, definitely it is. When you heard those footsteps after hearing that roar, did it sound like they were coming toward you?
Yes, because it wasn't just you heard the footsteps, but at the same time, I know it was coming towards me because I heard the breathing, and there was nothing there, but you'd hear the breathing behind you and like the starting, but then turning up, there's nothing there, but you'd hear something walking heavy towards you. It was awful. But then, obviously, when I think what it was doing, I'm not sure, but the only logical explanation was it was shimmering from tree to tree, or jumping from tree to tree, or maybe it was high up. I don't know, but how I could hear that, just like it was like it was just behind back of me. I could, you know, noise, and but it's nothing at all. And that was, you know, it wasn't until, like I say, when I walked towards coming out of the park with the street light, that I saw the reflection of the eyes.
Speaking of the eyes that you saw reflecting, what color was the eye shine, and how high off the ground were those eyes?
When I say eyes, yes, there was eyes. When you say color, I cannot tell you what color, because obviously all you're seeing is, like, imagine you're on a motorway, and then when your lights are going down, you see those cat eyes. It was like a sweep, so I don't know. I don't know if there was, it's very, all I know is I saw the reflection. But quite tall, yes. Yes. I had to say, because I was on the hill going up out of the park, and as going down the hill, the tree that I saw with the light and the reflection, it was, very, very tall. Very tall.
Yeah, you can't be faulted for not knowing exactly what color those eyes were and exactly how high they were off the ground. You were so rattled and had so many thoughts going on in your head. Pretty much anyone would be shaken to the point where they'd be doing good to know their own name. So, I totally understand. You said that your uncle hasn't been right since the two of you had that experience that night. To what extent, though?
Where he worries, he's got a couple of cats. So, if they start acting out of character, or he hears bands, or he hears any noise, or anything that might upset him, he doesn't like going out anymore, because he was in denial that he's sorry, and he was just scared. So for him to say that was quite a big, as he would never say that, never. But yeah, it's really affected him. That even when it's like dark nights or anything, I have to go do a shopping for him at the supermarket, or if it comes across people with, like, big dogs like Alsatians or German Shepherds or anything big, it shimmers away and it starts shaking. It just doesn't like anything. It's, when it comes to TV and it's these advertisements, and no, he can't handle it anymore. It really affected him, even though that night he acted the way he did and acted like nothing was bothering him. Inside, it was killing him, you know? So, yeah.
Wow, I'm really sorry to hear it affected him like that. I hope in time he learns to deal with it, but sounds like he has some work to do. And if he's ever up for a good conversation with me, please let him know. I'd be more than happy to try to help.
Oh, yes, I'm sure that if I speak to him and tell him, obviously, tell him that I've spoke, you know, we've had the interview, and to come forward, and you might help him with how it affected him, then yeah, and it'd also be good, because it counter what I'm saying, so it'd be like a double story, so what I experienced, and yeah, that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, please do let him know, because like I said, I'd love to be able to help. How big was that woods you were cutting through where you had that second encounter, Simon, and were there any streams or creeks running through it?
Ooh, quite long woods, they go for quite a few miles on. It leads out all the way from probably Tesco's and Halifax Road. It leads all the way right up to near Halifax, and it leads to a place in Station Road, like I said, with the second encounter with Mike Ronnie. But then it goes all the way on. So the dilemma of the woods is probably, I don't know, maybe 8 miles in total in a square figure. It's a very, very big woods. The streams that run down it, there's estuary in these woods, there's pigs and all sorts of things happening. It's quite a long woods, you know. But it depends which way you cut through it, because the way I cut through it goes from Norwood Green and Station Road, and it goes through to Woodside, which isn't quite a long walk, but it depends which dilemma you're going.
Wow, that is a big woods. When you heard those footsteps splashing toward you, did your thoughts instantly go back to the night when you and your uncle heard that roar?
It didn't cross my mind, because at first, all I think about is the pain in my ankle. But then I just, as I slipped down, it was like being in shock, you know, you go down like a really muddy slide hill. And then you then, and you're out. And the first minute, it's the pain. So I'm looking, thinking, have I brought my ankle? And I'm sort of feeling around. So it wasn't, I'm slipped down the hill. Is there something unnatural waiting for me? No, that wasn't the first initial thought. It was when I started feeling it and I realized that something was happening that kind of hit me.
Oh, no, I understand. I'm sure you had so many things going through your mind at the time that you were having a hard time knowing which way was up, so I get it. You described its head as looking similar to a baboon's. What kind of leg structure did it have, though?
When I said the head similar to a baboon's, I mean like the arms. You know, like where you get orangutans or you get... I'm not sure which one, but the ones that have got the real long arms and like the legs, but it had real long arms like a baboon, and the back goes down like a really toned back and the bum goes up and like that's toned legs. Yeah.
Did it have leg structures like a human or an ape, or did it have leg structure like a dog or a horse or a cat?
Similar to a horse and a dog, I'd say I'd like the muscle of a horse, but the thin leg of a dog.
I see. So instead of having ankles and knees, it had hocks and stifled joints, just like a horse or a dog would have.
Yeah, so it had like the thigh of the horse, but then as it went backwards, it was just like, yeah, like a dog, where it bent, you still got the bend, so it could stretch itself to stand taller.
I see. So it was a canine-type dogman then. You shut down for a period after you had that experience. You said that you're fine now, but it sounds to me like you're still at least partially compromised from it. Is that an accurate assessment?
Of course. To be not alone, but to be in a society, imagine if you were to go to somebody and the neighbour say, "How are you today, Simon?" And you say, "Oh, last night, I'm sure so. This werewolf type creature that did this, that other." The first thing they'd think, or the first thing they would actually say is, "Huh, you need to see a doctor." Even if they don't say it, they still think it, because they don't believe it. But if they've been through it, and their doctor might don't say, "Hi Simon, you're right, I saw a werewolf last night," I'd think, "She'd see a doctor. There's no such thing. No such thing as vampires, there's no such thing as werewolves, there's no such thing as all these fictional creatures." But then, see it yourself, see it firsthand, and say to somebody, "I've seen that," they won't believe. So why would you come forward and tell people? But you don't, and that's what makes things worse, because you hold it inside. And when you hold it inside, you're hurting yourself. But no one else will believe you. But when you hear other people that's been through the same encounters, the same terrifying events, then you open up. And by me doing this, it's helped me relax, because I know that I'm not alone. I know it wasn't my mental health. I know it wasn't me going crazy. I know that there's other people that has experienced what I experienced. So much so, at the time, I went on antidepressants because I was closing down, not telling people, because who's going to believe that I saw what I actually saw? So yeah, it did affect me in ways where I wouldn't go in woods. I'd always go the long way around. Whenever I had a noise or even a common crow, a top back, and it would make me jump. Yeah, it has affected me, yes. But speaking, like I said, my conversation with Vic, it's true that these animals, these whatever word you want to describe them as, I've never ever hurt anyone. Because if they did, we wouldn't all be here to tell a story. So these thrive on scaring you. And these are very clever creatures that know that if you come forward, like I've come, and tell the story, no one's going to believe you. So, yeah. So it's very good that it's what's happened. And I heard it, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to tell. And this has got really lifted off my chest, because I know I'm not alone. And I know that everyone that's listening, or was listening, will understand exactly.
I'm so glad you do know that fact, that so many people here listening to you talk about these experiences, they do understand what you've gone through. They didn't experience your encounters, but they're sympathetic and they know you're not full of it. So I'm glad that helps. Talking about that, though, has it been almost as difficult for you to deal with the responses you've gotten from family and friends when you've tried to share your experiences with them as it's been dealing with your encounters? From listening to what you said about sharing your experiences with other people, it sounds like that just might be the case.
No, when I said sharing experiences, I mean, I want to share my experience by what I've told you. I want to share experience to help all those other people that's experienced the same, to show that we're not mental, we're not crazy, we're not in the loony bin. We have experienced this and we did see this. When I say other people, I don't mean family and friends have told, I mean the people that I'm hoping, you know, to help. Like, this is a point of your show, isn't it? You tell your experiences, you tell the truth, and it helps others understand and experience and realize why. A lot of people think, I didn't see this, and your mind blanks it. And when your mind blanks it, you think, oh, and all it is like, example, if you saw a ghost, and you throw a cover over yourself, like people take depressant tablets, it's putting a blanket over you, but the ghost will never go away until you take the cover off and face the ghost face on and say, listen, I've had enough. Then you'll never move forward. So I've took that first step to move forward and contact you. And that's how it went.
Well, it goes without saying, I'm so glad you did contact me. Well, it's about time for us to get out of here, Simon, but before we do you have any closing comments you'd like to share?
Yeah, this was a terrifying experience. These animals, creatures, beasts, or whatever you would like to call them, I don't believe they're out to hurt you. Otherwise, all of these people won't be able to tell the tale. But I believe they're very highly intelligent. I think they get pleasure out of fear. So when they know you're scared, they'll play on it, just like a naughty dog. I also believe that they've been here for a lot of years after experiencing what I experienced. I believe they should be left alone. And I believe that talking to Vic has helped me with my anxiety and to experience and talk to all those other people that's been through the same experiences and terrifying experiences. That I just want to thank you all for coming forward, because by you all coming forward has really helped me. On that note, thank you.
I'm so glad you realize that you're amongst friends here and you're not going to be judged negatively. So that's a great thing. But having said that, Simon, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing the details of those experiences with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks again so much. Have a great night.